fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the January 13th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with African football. The 16-team African Nations Championship begins Saturday in Yaounde, Cameroon. In the opening match, Cameroon will host Zimbabwe, and that will be followed by a game between Mali and Burkina Faso. Our VOA football fans will remember the African Nations Championship, or CHAN, is for players who compete in their domestic leagues. So, for example, a member of Cameroon's team must play in Cameroon's league, and a member of Zimbabwe's team must play in Zimbabwe's league. Big African stars like Mohamed Salah of Egypt and Sadio Mane of Senegal, who are based in England with Liverpool, are not eligible. The sixth edition of the African Nations Championship was originally scheduled to be held in Cameroon last year, but it was postponed due to the COVID-19 pandemic. The Confederation of African Football, CAF, has given Cameroon the green light for spectators to attend CHAN matches, but under strict COVID-19 protocols. The stadiums in Yaounde, Douala, and Limbe are expected to be at about 25% capacity during the group phase. Cameroonian sports officials say attendance could rise to 50% stadium capacity during the CHAN knockout phase. Let's take a look now at the CHAN groupings. Group A has host Cameroon, Mali, Burkina Faso, and Zimbabwe. Group B has Libya, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Congo Brazzaville, and Niger. Group C has defending champion Morocco, Rwanda, Uganda, and Togo. And Group D has Zambia, Guinea, Namibia, and Tanzania. The Chipolopolo of Zambia will play their first CHAN match on January 19th when they take on the Taifa Stars of Tanzania in Limbe, Cameroon. To get some information about Zambia's preparations, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted the team's head coach, Militin Micho Sredovic.
Chipolopolo has arrived in Cameroon 2 days before the new year, on 30th, with a group of 25 players, later on being completed after interclub competition with 3 players playing internationally and 2 players that needed additional medical checkups before getting right to come. So that we are now with a group of 30 players in Cameroon and preparation. We have played pre-CHAN tournament where we have played with Niger 3-3 draw immediately after arriving. In less than 48 hours after that, we played against Uganda with hitting 4 times post and bar of opponent against the run of play, conceded 2 goals, and losing that game against Uganda. Third game, we won after having rest of 72 hours. A local team of Cameroon 2-0 that gave us confidence that we have what it takes to have good performance on the CHAN. We have arrived 2 days before, after the tournament. We have arrived in Douala, where we are now in preparation. On Wednesday, 13th of January, we shall have last general checkup against Libya, playing friendly match in Douala, before going into the last 7 days of polishing last preparatory teams in order to start the competition in the best way on 19th against Tanzania.
The Chipolopolo of Zambia are in Group V with Guinea, Namibia, and Tanzania. What's your take on the group?
We are in the group with Tanzania, Guinea, and Namibia. And I would like to say one of the most competitive groups, having in mind that football revelation on the continent, Ahoroya from Guinea as a club, and Simba of Tanzania. And also Namibia has very good club football. When you have that in mind, the most competitive group on the tournament, where every single opponent shows the quality that usually they use in inter-club competitions. This Chinese representation of local football, they want to represent their country the best way, so we do want. And as a such, I personally expect very tough competition. Every single match will be like action thriller, football action thriller, and as such, we expect tough matches, but we believe in talent and quality of our players. We believe that we shall get performance and results to make us pass in this group.
Are you satisfied with the level of preparation by your team?
We have gone one totally unlogical way of preparation. We have called our team, however, our players have been engaged in cup inter-club competitions, and our players have been engaged with their respective teams. And having that in mind, we couldn't make a gelling and unity and togetherness training sessions that could put us in the right frame of mind. However, we have played pre-Chan tournament with those three matches, had some training sessions together. We shall check up against Libya on Wednesday. And then having last 5-6 days as a polishing preparation before taking on Tanzania. I want to thank our supporters for supporting us, our Zambian government and leadership of Football Association of Zambia, and all the great people that they have supported us. We believe that we had very good preparation, that still these days in anticipation of the start of the competition, that we shall make our team ready for all the challenges ahead of us. And I believe that we have had very good preparation that could make us perform to the best of our standards.
That's Milutin Mijo-Sredovic, the head coach of Zambia's national men's football team. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Douala, Cameroon.
Dear respected friends, sports greetings. This is Milutin Mijo-Sredovic, coach of Zambia national football team Chipolo Polo and former national coach of Uganda Cranes. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Take your pick, watch on television, log on to the internet, or listen right here on the radio. Hello, I am Shaka Fali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America. Straight Talk Africa puts you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they talk about the most important social and political issues that affect you. Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Sport greetings, everyone. This is Falelat Ogukoya, Olympic silver and bronze medalist, African record holder, ranked the best quarterfinaler in the world, 1998. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sport on Voice of America. Please continue to stay safe and avoid contracting COVID-19. Thanks.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, the host of the VOA's African Beat music show. Still on the African football beat, Liverpool star Mohamed Salah has donated oxygen and an ambulance to his home village in the Egyptian region of Garbia. The donations will be used to treat people suffering with COVID-19 as Egypt battles a second wave of infections. The 28-year-old Salah tested positive for the coronavirus last November. Hassan Bakker, the head of the Mohamed Salah Charity Foundation, says the foundation has 14 oxygen cylinders that are helping people in Salah's hometown, as well as those in surrounding villages. Bakker says he delivers the oxygen cylinders direct to patient homes. He says the ambulance unit has been operating since July 2020 and has helped transport patients to isolation hospitals. Mo Salah maintains deep connections with the small village where he grew up, about 130 kilometers north of Cairo. And Bakker says Mo Salah donates about $64,000 each year to support his charitable foundation. According to Reuters, the Egyptian government has confirmed more than 150,000 infections and 8,249 COVID deaths since the start of the pandemic more than 10 months ago. However, health officials say the real number is likely far higher because of the relatively low rate of coronavirus testing.
This is Jonathan McKinstry, the head coach of the Uganda Cranes national team. Now, with a vaccine being released across the globe, we can finally see light at the end of the tunnel. But it's important that whilst that vaccine is rolled out, that we all remain steadfast and alert and adopt the guidelines that are being given out by the Ministry of Health and our various health authorities to make sure that we keep each other safe and we keep ourselves safe until we can get rid of this pandemic. Good luck and good health to everybody.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In English Premier League football news, Manchester United moved to the top of the table Tuesday with a 1-0 road victory against Burnley. Paul Pogba scored the winning goal with a deflected volley in the 71st minute. Pogba met a cross from Marcus Rashford with a first-time effort from the edge of the box that deflected off Burnley defender Matt Lowton and through the legs of goalkeeper Nick Pope. Pogba praises Rashford's assist.
It was a great ball. Obviously, it was a great ball. I had the freedom to go and, I just went in. Volleyed it. The ball touched someone. Just went in. You know, sometimes not the perfect goal, but the perfect movement, the perfect pass make the perfect goal. But the shoot wasn't the best, but he went in. So really happy with the performance of everyone. What we did, we keep the focus. We were there defensively, and I think it was a great performance. Great war performance today.
Meanwhile, Man U's Norwegian manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer says he thinks his team should have won by a wider margin.
We've had a knack of getting the result over the line, and even though it could have been more comfortable towards the end, because I thought we played really well second half. We should have had this second or third goal. Still, you can see the spirit and how much it means to the boys when we defended that ball at the end. Luke sticks his head in. The ball flies. It's like pinball in there. And it's one of those sigh of relief after when it's over.
When it was over, Manchester United had a 3-point lead over Liverpool heading into their meeting at Anfield on Sunday. In another match Tuesday, Sheffield United ended the longest winless start to a Premier League season with a 1-0 victory against visiting Newcastle. Billy Sharp scored from the penalty spot in the 73rd minute to give Sheffield its first win in 18 matches. And in one more Premier League result, Everton scored a 2-1 road victory against Wolverhampton. Nigerian striker Alex Iwobi put Everton in front 1-0 in the 6th minute when he fired home from close range. Portuguese midfielder Ruben Neves equalized for Wolverhampton 8 minutes later, and Michael Keane headed home the winner for Everton in the 77th minute.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Cameroonian basketball star Joel Embiid had one of his best performances of the new NBA season Tuesday night to lead the Philadelphia 76ers to a thrilling overtime victory against the visiting Miami Heat. The AP's Dave Ferry reports.
Joel Embiid had 45 points and 16 rebounds as the Sixers outlasted the Heat 137-134 in overtime.
In that third quarter, being down 12 by 1 point, that's when I felt like I needed to take matters into my own hands.
Dakota Mathias' only basket of the game was a go-ahead three-pointer with 26.1 seconds left. Ben Simmons had 5 points and 12 assists in his return from injury, but Philadelphia continued to play without Tobias Harris, Seth Curry, and Shake Milton due to health and safety protocols involving COVID-19. With Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, and Goran Dragic among the Heat sitting out for COVID-related reasons, Tyler Hero paced the team with 34 points.
I'm just playing my game. Obviously, we don't have a full strength right now with our whole roster. So things are a little bit different, but I'm still learning, still trying to adjust to everything, finding my spots right when the right time to be, when's the right time to be aggressive, when's the right time to make plays.
I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. Now let's go to Houston, Texas, where LeBron James and the defending champion Los Angeles Lakers defused the Houston Rockets 117-100. LeBron led the Lakers with 26 points in just over 29 minutes on the court. Talk to us, LeBron.
Y'all got one common goal, and our common goal is to hold each other accountable. Put a lot of pressure on us as individuals, on our individual self. And then if one individual is not feeling like himself, then we pick our brother up.
Meanwhile, Rockets star James Harden scored 16 points on a bad shooting night. Harden missed 11 of the 16 shots he took from the field. And afterwards, he sounded pretty disappointed about the performance gap between the Rockets and the Lakers.
We're not even close, honestly. To that team, obviously the defending champions, and to just all the other elite teams out there. You can tell the difference in these last two games.
In another NBA game Tuesday night, the Brooklyn Nets beat the visiting Denver Nuggets 122-116. Brooklyn rallied from an 18-point deficit in the second half. Star forward Kevin Durant led the Nets with a game-high 34 points.
Definitely play harder to start the quarter. We kept the ball in our hands, and they came out too relaxed, being up 16, on the shorthanded team, you could tell they relaxed a bit, and we was able to capitalize on that and take the momentum back and put it in our favor, and guys hit big shots.
That's Brooklyn Nets basketball star Kevin Durant. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Sporty greetings, everyone. This is Ambassador Mary Onyale, Olympic medalist, five-time African champion in the sprint event. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Mary. And here are a few fun facts about Ambassador Mary Onyale. Last year, Mary was named an ambassador for Nigeria's rebranded National Principles Cup, a grassroots competition that has helped develop some of the country's top athletes. Mary Onyale won two Olympic bronze medals while representing Nigeria. She won bronze in the women's 200 meters at the 1996 Olympic Games in Atlanta. And she won another bronze in the women's 4x100 meters team relay at the 1992 Barcelona Olympics. Meanwhile, this year's Tokyo Olympics are just over 6 months away, with a scheduled start of July 23rd in the Japanese capital. Now, there are still many questions about whether the games will come off, especially with COVID-19 cases surging in Japan, here in the United States, and other countries. VOA's Gwen Uten joins us now with a report on the Olympics and coronavirus vaccines. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Last December, Britain became the first nation in the world to administer a fully tested coronavirus vaccine and kicked off an immunization campaign against the global pandemic. And as preparations for the rescheduled games continue, Olympic organizers and the IOC are growing more confident that they too will have a vaccine in time for opening ceremony on July 23rd. IOC President Thomas Bach has said while it would not be mandatory for Olympic athletes to receive the vaccine, they'll be strongly encouraged to do so. And last week, senior Olympics official Dick Pound said athletes should be given priority access to the vaccine so the Tokyo Games can go ahead as planned. But Dr. Kenji Ishii, a vaccination expert at the University of Tokyo, issued this warning for Olympic organizers.
Never put the Olympics as a hostage for distributing a vaccine too fast or in the wrong way.
Dr. Ishii tells Reuters News he believes the Olympics can be conducted safely without the vaccine, but he says a rushed rollout might overlook potentially dangerous side effects and leave athletes vulnerable.
We should be able to do Olympics without everyone getting immunized or vaccinated. First of all. Second of all, vaccine should be very safe, safely immunized to everybody in the right way and hopefully very slowly to make sure these are safely distributed to the human being rather than rushing into the billions of people in a month. If something went wrong, all of us get, sick.
Jason Kinderchuk is an infectious diseases expert at the University of Manitoba in Canada. He told Reuters he also believes the games can be held safely, but without a vaccine, countermeasures against COVID-19 must be in place.
I think that's the unfortunate reality is that there are a lot of people that looked at the announcements for the vaccines and thought, okay, this is our guarantee and kind of our golden ticket that 2021 everything goes back to normal. Well, you know what? In the meantime, until we get herd immunity, we're still doing all the regular infection prevention control stuff. So the things that people are unbelievably tired of hearing about in regards to masking and distancing and hygiene, all that stuff still applies.
And Kinderchuk thinks prioritizing vaccines for athletes would be a tough sell.
Trying to say to those people, well, we need to be able to provide these athletes with vaccines because this is a part of our heritage and part of our kind of national pride. That's going to be a tough step. And I think especially when you have a vaccine rollout program that hasn't been working very well, you're going to have a lot of people that are going to, I think, frankly, be quite angry and unhappy about that idea.
In a recent survey, 80% of those polled in Japan think the Tokyo Olympics should be delayed again or canceled altogether. But last week, Japanese Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga said it is still possible to hold the games as planned because people around the world are beginning to receive a vaccine. The Prime Minister says, in part, I want to start vaccines in Japan by the end of February. If we take appropriate measures, I think the feelings toward the Olympics will change. Since March of 2020, when the decision to postpone the Olympics was announced, the global numbers of positive cases and deaths caused by COVID-19 have skyrocketed. Like many nations, Japan is grappling with soaring coronavirus cases and a struggling economy. And last week, Prime Minister Suga declared a state of emergency for the Greater Tokyo region that will stay in effect through February 7th. On Tuesday, Tokyo 2020 Committee President Yoshiro Mori said organizers should decide in February or March whether the risk of contracting COVID-19 has fallen low enough to allow spectators to attend the games in July. And he added, it would be absolutely impossible to cancel the games again, largely because the committee would not be able to retain its staff for another year. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
The Voice of America's global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America.
Hi, this is Tatiana McFadden, 17-time Paralympic medalist, 7-time gold medalist, 17-time marathon champion, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
Earlier, my VOA colleague Gwen Uten reported how nearly 80% of Japanese surveyed feel the Tokyo Games should be delayed or canceled altogether. Some details now on that survey. It was done by the Japanese news agency Kyodo. In the telephone poll, more than 35% of those surveyed called for the cancellation of the Tokyo Games. And almost 45% of the Japanese surveyed said there should be another postponement. As Gwen mentioned in her report, Tokyo recently began another COVID-19 state of emergency due to rising infection rates.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Kenya says it plans to bid on hosting the 2025 World Athletics Championships. Athletics Kenya President Jackson Tuwai says, and I quote, "Absolutely, we are going to bid to host this global event. Remember, we had expressed interest in hosting the event. We have already received the bidding documents, and we are working towards submitting the bid before the deadline." In 2019, World Athletics President Sebastian Coe said he supports Kenya's bid to hold the World Championships in 2025. Coe told Kenya media, and I quote, "We have always supported the idea of the World Championships being held in Africa, and we are positively aware of Kenya's idea of hosting the 2025 edition." Coe went on to say that Kenya was successful hosting the 2007 World Cross Country Championships in Mombasa, as well as the 2017 World Under 18 Championships in Nairobi. Wraps up the January 13th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.